If you have your Bible this morning and you would like to share some scripture with me, I'm going to ask you to turn over to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16. 1 Samuel, chapter 16, and we're going to begin reading with the first verse of that chapter. So 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse number 1. God is speaking and he says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel the prophet, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite. For I have provided for me a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, if Saul gets wind of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with thee and say that I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee." And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and he came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Comest thou peaceably?" And Samuel said, "Peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he, talking about Samuel, he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and he called them to the sacrifice. Now pay particular attention. And it came to pass when they were come, when they were all gathered for the sacrifice, that Samuel looked upon Eliab, and he said within himself, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before me." But the Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks upon the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And God says to Samuel, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel says unto Jesse, "The Lord hath not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are here all of your children? I mean, is there anybody else that you are leaving out? Are here all of your children?" And Jesse says to him, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he comes hither." And he sent and brought him, talking about David. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. Ask if you would please bow your heads and let us pray together and ask the Lord for his help, for his anointing in preaching the Word of God. My Father, we come into your presence and we feel your divine Holy Spirit. We sense your presence among us as we have worshiped and as we have sang and as we have lifted you up on high. And now, Lord, we come to the ministry of your word. I acknowledge that without you, I can do nothing. I look to you, the author, finisher, the enabler. I pray that you would anoint me with the Holy Spirit of God. Give me divine ability to minister the word that you have placed upon my heart. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will divinely inspire my thoughts, that you will put your words in my mouth, and that you will let what is spoken come forth through these lips of clay under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you would do these things, Lord, not that any man should be glorified, but that Jesus Christ would be glorified and that he would be exalted and that our hearts might be closer knit unto you. Edify our hearts this morning with your word. Minister to us this morning with your word. And Lord, we will forever give you the praise and we will forever give you the thanks. And we ask it in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement said amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So this morning, I would like to begin. And I want us to consider what it was that made a shepherd boy a giant slayer. What was the premier quality that was evident in David's life? What was it that caught God's attention? And let me just remind you this morning that as we begin, God ended up calling David a man after his own heart. God said, he is after my own heart. But what was it about David that caught God's attention? What was it about David that caused God to look down and choose him to be the king over the people of Israel? Amen. I believe the answer to that question this morning can be found in the text that we have read. And I also believe that the same qualities that God recognized in David are the same qualities that will enable you and I to do great exploits for the kingdom of God. How many of you here this morning know that God is searching and looking for individuals that will stand in the gap and make up a hedge for a wicked and sinful world? God is still looking for some men and some women that he can use in this last day. Can you say amen? Sometimes I think that we get the idea or the attitude that it is all about God blessing us. I'm going to tell you something this morning. God is looking for laborers and those who are willing to pick up their cross and daily follow after the Lord. God is looking for somebody that'll be willing to pray, not my will, but thy will be done. God's looking for somebody that will say, Lord, here I am, use me and do with me whatever you can to cause the kingdom of God to grow. And I believe that if we have the same kind of characteristics that David had and that caught God's attention, then it will cause us to be useful for the kingdom of God. Let me give you some historical context. The verses that we have read this morning reveal to us that God is looking for a king. God is looking for someone to reign over his people, to rule and lead with compassion and love over his people. God is searching for a new king to lead the children of Israel. in its historical context, you will remember that Saul had been disobedient, amen, when it came to the children of Amalek. God had said, utterly destroy them. And instead of utterly destroying them, the Bible says that Saul kept alive the best of the ox and the best of the sheep and the fairest of the people. And in doing so, he disobeyed God. And because God, amen, had said to do it one way and Saul did it another way, God said, you have rejected the word of the Lord, and now I am rejecting you to lead my people. And the kingdom was rent or taken away from Saul. And Samuel here in our text is mourning about God's decision. How many of you ever decided to mourn about something that God, amen, that God intended to happen all along? Hello? Saul is rent and the kingdom is taken away, and Samuel can only cry about it. And God says to Samuel, the prophet, the man of God, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing how I have rejected him? This wasn't your idea. This wasn't somebody else's idea. This was my idea. And here you are grieving about it. How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing how I have rejected him? And God says to Samuel, here's what I want you to do. I want you to arise, and I want you to go to Jesse's house, the Bethlehemite, meaning that Jesse lived in the town of Bethlehem. He says, I want you to go to the Jesse. I want you to go to his house because I have provided myself a king among his sons. At first, Samuel objects. I don't know, that's such a good idea. If Saul gets wind of it, he will kill me. And God gave him a cover, if you will. God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go, amen, to Bethlehem. I want you to go to the house of Jesse. And when you get there, I want you to tell him that you have come to sacrifice unto the Lord. And you sanctify the house of Jesse and have all of his sons show up. And from there, I will show you what you are to do. So Samuel arises in obedience to God. He arises and he makes his way to Bethlehem, and he makes his way into the city. And when he arrived, the people of the city knew, and knowing he was a man of God, said, are you come peacefully? He said, I've come peacefully. I haven't come to bring judgment. I've come peacefully. In fact, I have come so that we might sacrifice together unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and make your way to the sacrifice, and everybody come and join me. And he sanctifies the household of Jesse. And Jesse and his sons are invited to the sacrifice. And I want you to see this in your mind this morning as it unfolds. They are at the sacrifice. They are gathered together, and Jesse brings his eldest son, Eliab, before Samuel the prophet. And Samuel says within his heart, surely this is the Lord's anointed. Surely I have found the one that he wants me to anoint to be king over Israel. I mean, he's a good-looking fella. He's got a good countenance. He's a tall guy. He is a good looking fella. He's got it going on. He's got personality plus. Surely the Lord's anointed is before me. And God taps Samuel on the shoulder and says, not so fast. That ain't him. That ain't him. As a matter of fact, God says to Samuel, amen, don't be looking on the outside, because God does not judge on the outward appearance, but God is looking at the heart. I come to tell somebody today, it doesn't matter how many gifts you have or how many talents you have, if you got personality plus, what really matters is what's down on the inside. God does not call us for work, amen, or do the work of the Lord because, amen, we are highly intelligent, or because we are gifted and talented, or because we're the best looking individual in the crowd. No, God calls us according to what's in our heart. God says, no, that's not the one. Jesse calls Abinadab. Passed by before the prophet. And I wonder if Samuel thought to himself, well, I wonder if this one is the one. But before he could think such a thing, God says, neither has the Lord chosen him. No, that's not him. Shammah, your turn. Can you see that unfolding? Shammah, your turn. Walk before the man of God. And he gets up, walks before the man of God. Puts on his best royal air. God said, nope, that ain't him either. And all seven sons pass before the prophet. All seven of them pass before the prophet. And Jesse, the Bible says, amen, Jesse, the Bible says, not one of them were chosen. In verse 10, Jesse says, the Bible said that again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. So in other words, I can see it in my mind. In other words, all seven of them passed before the prophet. And the prophet says, no, 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 no. Seven times, no, that's not him. I mean, you know, they get down to the last guy, number seven. And he walks before the prophet, and the prophet goes, no, that ain't him either. That's not him. And I wonder if Jesse must not have been thinking to himself, now, wait a minute. Come on, surely there's a king among the seven. Maybe you miss God, prophet. Maybe you miss God. And so in verse 10, it says that again, he sent them, all seven of them, to pass before Samuel a second time. No, 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 that's not him. That's not him. I can see it unfold. They passed by the first time. No, no, no. They passed by the second time. No, no. And the first thing that I want you to notice this morning as I minister this message is the first thing that I want you to see is that David seems to be an afterthought. Hello? I don't know about you, but it seems to me that David must have been an afterthought in all of this process. Number one, he wasn't even called to the sacrifice. And number two, when the children, all seven of them, went by the prophet the first time, it didn't dawn on his father, Jesse, I've got another boy out in the field I need to call. No, as a matter of fact, Jesse just said, I want all seven of you to go back by the prophet again. Hello? It seems to me that David is an afterthought. Jesse parades seven of his sons before Samuel, and when none of them are chosen, it never dawns on him that he has another son in the field watching the sheep. Instead of calling for David and remembering another son in the field, Jesse has the same first seven pass before the man of God yet again. And instead of saying, hang on, I've got another boy out in the field, let me get him here and let's get him sanctified and let's see what God has to say about him. Instead of doing that, he just runs the seven back in front of the man of God. As a matter of fact, look at verse number 11. It never does dawn on Jesse, the father, that he has another boy that hasn't gone before the men of God yet. Verse number 11. The Bible says that it is Samuel who says, "Are these all of your children? Do you have anybody else? I've had these seven pass by twice and ain't none of them God's choice. I know God said that there was a son in the house of Jesse that I'm supposed to anoint king over Israel. And ain't none of these the one. Have you got anybody else?" And it finally dawns on the father. "Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot about him. Hello? Oh, yeah. David appears to me to be out of sight, out of mind. He is the youngest and the smallest. He is ignored and overlooked. He is out of sight and out of mind. It appears to me that they thought of him in terms of being insignificant and in terms of being unimportant. Have you ever, beloved, been passed over and looked upon as unimportant? Have you here this morning ever been looked upon and been made to feel insignificant? Have you ever been made to feel as though you were an afterthought? Amen. If that's you this morning, I got some good news. Amen. God often chooses those who have been overlooked and those who others think are unimportant to do great things for the kingdom of God. Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 26. The Bible says, "Brothers and sisters," I'm reading the God's Word translation, "consider what you were when God called you to be Christians. Not many of you were very wise from a human point of view. You were not in powerful positions or in the upper social classes." In other words, you weren't part of the upper crust. I learned a long time ago the upper crust is a bunch of crumbs held together by their own dough. Can you say amen? He goes on to say, "But God chose you." God chose what the world considers nonsense to put to shame the wise. God chose what the world considers weak to put to shame those who are strong. God chose the world, or what the world considers ordinary and what the world despises and what it considers to be nothing, in order to destroy what it considers to be something. In other words, God chose the lowly so he could exalt them and cause them to do great things for the kingdom of God, and nobody would get the glory but God. Amen. I want you to know this morning, I am not the most educated in the crowd. I am not the most talented of the bunch. I'm not the brightest crayon in the box. Hello? But you know what I am? I am called of God. I am anointed of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when God calls you and God anoints you, you can do things for the kingdom of God that the highly educated cannot do. You can do things for the kingdom of God that the highly talented cannot do. Hey, I come to tell somebody, when God gets involved, he'll not only call you, but he'll qualify you to do what he's called you to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And ain't nobody get the glory for it but God. Ain't nobody get the glory for it but God. Those of you that know my past, I was a music entertainer, playing country and country rock music. Thought I was doing my thing. God got a hold of me and changed my thing. And I was the last person on planet Earth that I thought he would call to preach. But when God calls, he enables. When God calls, he qualifies. Amen. Maybe there was some that, you know, life paraded before God and said, nope, not that one, nope, not that one, nope, not that one, nope. I want that one. I want the most broken one of the bunch. Why? So I can raise him up to do something for the kingdom of God. Not so he can have a pat on the back, but so that I can have the glory. It's not in his mental capacity. It's not in his talent. It's not in his great vocabulary. It's not in the fact that he's a stellar guy with a great personality. No, it's just simply for the fact that I put my anointing upon him and I changed his life. What Paul is saying is that God does not often qualify the high and the mighty. God does not often qualify, or God does not often call those who think themselves to be something. But God calls the lowly of heart, and God calls the humble in spirit, and God calls those who are of lowly stature so that he can do something through them. It is not in our might, it is not in our power, but it is through the anointing of the Holy Spirit that others recognize something in their life, and that something can be none other but Jesus and him crucified that changes hearts and changes lives. David seems to have been forgotten, doing an insignificant, undesirable, and unappreciated job. Here they are. They're all going to the sacrifice. Now, don't you know they put on their Sunday best for this shindig? We're going to go before the man of God. We just might be chosen to be king before the day is over. Let's put it on right. Hello? And they walk one by one. Nope, 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 nope. Send them back through. Nope, nope, nope. Finally, Samuel says, hey, I've already looked at all them guys twice. God don't want none of them. Don't you have another son somewhere? Don't you have, is this all your family? No. As a matter of fact, go call David. David probably didn't have a chance to put on his Sunday best. He probably smelt like sheep. Hello? Or worse. Hello? And I love what Samuel says. He says, you have another son. Yeah, he's out watching the sheep. And Samuel says, ain't none of us gonna sit down until he gets here. There ain't none of us going to sit down until he gets here. I'm going to tell you what, God will cause others to reverence your walk. Ain't none of us going to have a seat. Here they thought that David was unimportant. Here they thought, amen, that David was insignificant. Here they thought that he was doing an unimportant job. I want you to see this morning how men judge things from the outward appearance, and yet how God judges things, amen, when it comes to the matters of the heart. Amen. Here they are thinking that they're putting on their Sunday best, and they might have an opportunity to be chosen. And here is David just faithfully doing what God had commissioned him to do, and God is about to bring him from the rear to the forefront. Ain't nobody gonna sit down until he gets here. And I can see David as he walks in. I can see him when he comes in. He didn't have on his Sunday finest. He may have come in a little weathered in the beard, a little raggy in the haircut. You see what I'm talking about? He could have come in with some filthy clothes on, smelling like sheep. The most unlikely one of the bunch. And God says, that's who I want. Arise and anoint him. That's the one that I've chosen. That's the one that I put my hand upon. Perspective, what man considers to be of least importance, is now most important to God. They hadn't even thought of David, and now they are standing on their feet waiting for his entrance. The second thing that I want you to notice this morning, and that I would like to point out, is they knew exactly where David was. They knew exactly where David was. Stop and think about this for a moment. They didn't have to go looking for David for 3 days to find out where he was. He had been given a responsibility to watch the sheep, and they knew he would be with the sheep. What are you saying, Pastor Gary? I'm saying that he was faithful to do what he had been asked to do. They didn't have to go searching for David. They knew exactly where he was. They knew exactly what he would be doing. How did they know that? Because they knew his character. I titled my message this morning, Character Counts. What I'm saying this morning is they didn't have to wonder where he was or what he would be doing, because they knew his character, and they knew he was faithful, and they knew he would be doing what he had been asked to do. What was it that made God, amen, look down and choose David? What was it that caught God's attention? I'm here to tell you this morning, it wasn't the personality, it wasn't the talents or the gifts, but what got God's attention was the character of the man. And God knew, his brothers knew, his father knew, that he would be faithfully doing what he had been asked to do. And so they knew just exactly where to send to get him. He would be with the sheep. Why would he be with the sheep? Because that's what he was asked to do. He is an individual of character. He is an individual who faithfully follows his responsibilities. Long story short, this morning, they knew that he would be where he was supposed to be. Some folks need to learn that lesson. Hello? Amen. Some folks need to learn that lesson. As a matter of fact, let me just tell you that some folks will never find promotion in their life because they do not learn that lesson. Some folks never find promotion in their life because they will never faithfully be where they are supposed to be. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. How many of you know that if you constantly show up at your job late, if you constantly show up and you're unreliable and undependable, that before too long you are going to be looking for a new job, right? Why? Because the employer is looking for someone who is dependable, faithful, and responsible, and is where they are supposed to be when they are supposed to be there. Hello? Well, let me just tell you, God is no different. Do you have scripture for that? I'm glad you ask. I do. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 10. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, he that is faithful in that which is least, in the little things, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that which is much. And he that is unjust or unfaithful in that which is least, you ain't gonna be able to count on him when it comes to something big. That's my own words. Jesus said, he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. What is he saying? Jesus is saying, if I can't trust you with the little things, then how in the world am I going to be able to trust you with something that is bigger than you are and bigger than your calling? You hear what I'm saying? God is looking for somebody with character, dependability, and faithfulness. And when God gets ready to raise someone up in the kingdom, he looks for a faithful heart. He looks for someone that is dependable. He looks for someone that he can rely on. One of my favorite taglines is TCB. It means taking care of business. In other words, what God is looking for is somebody that's already taken care of the business that they got before he puts anything else on their plate. And if you ain't taking care of what you already got, and you're not faithful in that which is least, then God knows you won't be faithful in something larger. I said some folks will never get promoted, amen, because they are not faithful where they are. It is quiet. Consistency is the evidence. Listen to me. Consistency is the evidence of greatness and reliability. Faithfulness is the evidence of excellence and authenticity. You hear what I'm saying? Dependability is the evidence of loyalty and fidelity. What causes a heart to be dependable? A love and a loyalty and a fidelity to the Lord. A heart that's so in love with Christ that no matter what he asks, no matter where he leads, we'll follow. Faithfulness, dependability, commitment is the evidence of dedication and devotion. If we're not devoted to the Lord, if we are not dedicated to the Lord, we will never be committed to his cause. What causes an individual to face hardships and just put their boots back on, pull their boots up by their strap and say, bless God, I might have got knocked down, but I'm gonna keep on walking. What causes somebody to have that kind of commitment? It is a devotion and a dedication to God. Nothing more. You want to be great. You want to do something great for the kingdom of God. Fall in love with Jesus. Become passionate and devoted. Amen. And let your heart be filled with fidelity to the Lord. And brother, God will begin to see that character in your life. And he will begin to raise us up. Greatness is not a one-time event. Great people do consistently what others do occasionally. That right there is so deep, I'm going to have to hold my nose. Hello? Great people do consistently what others do occasionally. One of the greatest enemies of the church is the spirit of mediocrity. Doing something half-heartedly. Oh, God, help us to slay the mediocrity and help us to have a passion that is vibrant and alive and a passion that burns for the things of God and a passion that drives us to excellence and a passion that drives us, amen, to walk in complete dedication and commitment to the things of God. Mediocrity kills, but oh, when we get passionate about the things of God, God is able to use that person to do something for the kingdom of God. Greatness is not a one-time event. We see David slaying the giant, and we think to ourselves, that is the moment that David became great. That is the moment that David became great. I beg to differ with you this morning. Greatness is not doing one thing in a great way, but greatness is doing the everyday in a faithful way. Greatness is doing the everyday things of life with an excellent spirit. Note this morning that a man or a woman may have gifts and may have talents, but God does not promote gifts and talents. Men do. Men promote gifts and talents, but God promotes character. God promotes character. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 16 said, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. How many of you know that's true? Your gift may bring you before great men, but let me just tell you this morning, it is your character that will enable you to stay there. Your gifts, your talents may open a door of opportunity, but it is your character that will enable you to remain there. You see what I'm saying? You need an example? Joseph's gift of interpreting dreams brought him before Pharaoh. But let me just tell you, it wasn't Joseph's gift of interpreting dreams that caused him to become prime minister of Egypt. What was it? It was his character. It was his character. Now listen, I want to go back to our text. And the Bible says that God said to Samuel, I have provided me a king among the sons of Jesse. The word provided carries with it the implication that God had watched and observed the actions of the sons of Jesse. The word provided means to behold, to consider, to spy upon, to perceive, to regard, to look after, to learn about, to observe. Basically, what God was saying was, I've been watching Jesse's sons and I've been observing them and I've been learning the way that they think and the way that they act. Amen. And I have found one among them who I desire to represent me. Character counts. Go with me to that scene, and I'm going to try and hurry. Go with me to that scene. David walks into the room. The Spirit of the Lord speaks to the man of God and says, that's him. That's him. He was probably the most filthy one of the bunch, but that was God's choice. Not because of what was on the outside, but because of what was on the inside. A crown does not make you a king. A crown only identifies the king in the man. You can put a crown on a pig and it's still a pig. Hello? Well, you can put a crown on a man, but that's not what makes him a king. It's the character of the man in him that makes him fit to lead the people. God says, arise and anoint him, for that's him. And the Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Let me give you a couple of quick points. We see the secret of David's power in two things. Number one, he was a person of character. It wasn't about his personality. I have mentioned this in preaching in the past. Personality comes from a Greek word called persona. It means that we reveal to people what we want them to perceive that we are. We reveal to people what we want them to perceive that we are. That's personality. Personality is what we say about ourselves and what we allow others to see. Character is who we are when there ain't nobody around. Character is who we really are when nobody else is watching. But I'm going to tell you who's watching. God said, I've provided myself a king. I've been observing the sons of Jesse. I've been watching their ways. I've been looking at their actions. I've been watching how they act, how they interact, and whether they are faithful or not, and what comes out of their mouth, and where they go, and what they do. I've been watching, and I found me one that I want to represent me. Well, let me just tell you something this morning. The secret of David's power was not his personality, but his character. God saw the character of the man, and the character is what made God promote him. Hallelujah. Well, let me just be really, really honest with you this morning. I don't know that I have ever met a more phony people than some of those that call themselves Christians. Glory! I'm preaching right. I mean, you know why? Because they know what's right, but they just don't do what's right. No, they know what's right, and they're willing to talk about what's right, but they ain't willing to act right. And they are as phony can be. Because they are just trying to fly by on their personality. And God is judging the character. Amen. Hello? The second thing that gave David this strength and this power. I love this. It's found right there when Samuel anoints him with the oil. The oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. The oil is a picture of the Holy Ghost. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And from that moment forward, the Spirit of the living God came upon him and enabled him to do what he had not been able to do before. I tell you this morning, God is looking for some Davids. God is looking for some Davids. God is looking for some individuals that he can anoint with the Holy Spirit. My question to you this morning is, will you be one of them? Will you determine to walk in character? Not in caricature, but character. Hello? Will you be willing to walk in character, in upright heart before God? I will be the first one to tell you that doing what's right is not always easy. But I will also tell you that doing what's right is what matters. David was the eighth son. In scriptural numerology, the number eight is the number of new beginnings. What does that mean? It is a picture of God desiring to do something new. Something fresh. David was the eighth son. In scriptural numerology, that number eight represents a fresh beginning, a new beginning. I come to tell somebody this morning that God desires to do something fresh and new in your spirit. God is looking for a David. God is looking for someone that's walking in character. God is looking for someone that's taking care of the everyday in a faithful way. And when God finds it, he'll promote it. Hallelujah. It was David who was anointed of God with the Holy Spirit. It was David that slew the bear and the lion. It was David that played the harp and drove the evil spirits away from Saul. It was David who slew the giant on the battlefield with just a slingshot and a stone. It was David that took the giant's sword out of his sheath and cut off his head with his own sword. It was David who did exploits and became a man after God's own heart. All because it was David who walked in character. I said character matters. Character counts. David is dead and gone, and the only thing that we have left of his record is the words and the record of his life and the life that he lived. But thank God we have that record. Because character depends, or begins, I should say, with a decision to do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Character begins with a decision and a choice to do that which honors God in life. Does your attitude honor God? Do your thoughts honor God? Do your actions honor God? Are your motives pure and do they honor God? Is your testimony clean and does it honor God? Is your witness what it should be and does it honor God? Do the things that you are watching and the things that you are listening to and the things that you have preeminence in your life, do they honor God? Character is our part and the anointing is God's part. I sum up what I'm trying to say this morning by let's give God something to anoint. Character is our part, and the anointing is God's part. But let's give him something to anoint. Let's give him a reason to call us. Let's give him a reason to call us. God anoints character. Do you think that God just walks around going, okay, I'll pick that one. Nope. The Bible said that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of him whose heart is right before God. What does that mean? It means that God is looking for someone to anoint. But he only anoints character. He anoints faithfulness. He anoints devotion. He anoints commitment. He anoints steadfast and unwavering. He anoints those that have made up their mind. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Message this morning. It's okay. Don't worry about it. I'm wrapping up. My whole message this morning is let's give God something to anoint. Let's give him something to anoint. This Christian life, this walk is not just about us and about what God gives to us and what God blesses us with. No, it's about being a useful instrument and a vessel to bless and minister to others. It's about bringing in harvest. It's about reaching out. That's what God desires to do with us. So let's give him something that he can anoint to do that with. I made a statement many, many years ago. I want to be great for God. Somebody says, oh, that is so proudful. That is so prideful. No. We all should have a desire to do something great for God. And the only thing that God is asking us to bring to the table is character. Let's be honest with ourselves. Let's be honest with God. Let's be faithful. Let's be faithful. Let's be committed. Let's be devoted. Let's have some fidelity in our heart. Let's have some passion about the things of God. And when God sees that, he goes, that's the one I want. Arise and anoint that one. Anoint that one. Bow your heads all over the building this morning. Character counts. There's some Goliaths that need to be destroyed in our day. There are some Goliaths of our generation that need to be slain. God's looking for a giant slayer. God's looking for a giant slayer. God's looking for a bear killer. I wish Travis was here this morning. He's our bear hunter. God's looking for a lion tamer. God's looking for somebody with some character. God's looking for somebody with some character. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. I want him to see me this morning. I want him to see my hand up. Lord, I'm here, I'm yours. And I pray you use me in whatever fashion that will bring glory to God. Let me have a right attitude, a right spirit, a right heart, a heart that's filled with love and compassion. I don't want to be a hypocrite, saying one thing and doing another. I want to give you something to anoint, Lord. Here am I. If you can use me for your glory. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Lord, touch our hearts here this morning. Speak to us. Lord, you know the reason why you had me minister this word this morning. I just simply ask, oh God, that you would speak to our hearts this morning. Help us to apply the word that you have placed before us. Draw us near and close to thee. I ask in the name of Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed all over the sanctuary this morning. If this message has spoke to your heart and you say, Lord, that's me, why don't you slip your hand up and just acknowledge it before the Lord. Tell him, Lord, that's me. I want to be a David. I want to walk in character. I want to walk not in mediocrity, but excellence. Lord, it's me, it's me, it's me. Stand to your feet all over the building. Allow me to pray with you before Cody comes to sing. Let me pray with you. Lord Jesus, Father, we are thankful this morning that you have spoken to our hearts. Lord, we are thankful that your word will not return void. Lord, you speak to us at times in this fashion and in this manner to cause us to understand and see where we stand in you. Father, you have seen every hand lifted this morning, acknowledging that the word has touch their heart and their life. And Lord, we just simply ask now that you would bring about a change in us. Bring about a change in our hearts. Bring about a change in our spirit. Lord, allow us to walk in character and faithfulness, that we might offer to you something that you might anoint and use to reach the lost, to minister to the hurting, to minister those that the enemy has blinded, to bring those who are afar off into relationship with you. We ask all of these things this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, touch our lives, our hearts. Let us leave changed. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.